16, and we're going to read verses 1 through 17. Jesus said this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If one remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other." Now I'd like to turn with you to the letter that Paul wrote, the second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the last chapter, and we're just going to read the last verses of this letter. 2 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 11. "Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I wonder how many of you this morning woke up and said to yourself, "Oh boy, it's Trinity Sunday." My guess is nobody. A few of you maybe that read the bulletin last week really carefully noticed that I put in notes about today's service and that it would be the observation, the celebration, the commemoration of Trinity Sunday. And you might have given that a little contemplation. Think, what is this now? What does this mean? I don't remember ever seeing a Trinity Sunday thing in the bulletin before. That's because it hasn't really been part of our tradition within the Christian Reformed Church. There are parts of the Christian church that have celebrated and observed Trinity Sunday for a very long time. It's always the first Sunday after Pentecost. And since about both the 12th century churches have on this Sunday been saying, we are going to talk about God and as He has revealed Himself in His Trinitarian expression. I think here at Bethel, we're on a bit of a journey to recover some things of our liturgical heritage. With a lot of other, even Christian Reformed churches, we celebrate Advent and Lent and things like that. But now we're also adding, along with so many other churches of Christ, Trinity Sunday. And it's good that we do, because the Trinity has been a teaching about God that has been contentious throughout the ages. People ask, how are we to understand God and how should we know Him? And there were lots of different answers given, a lot of different ways of explaining who God is and what do we make of what He says about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, like in the 2 Corinthians benediction that we read. There were some people who said that only the Father really is God. That we have one God and He is the Father. And they said, well, when we think about Jesus, we come to the conclusion that Jesus was the first creation. That when God started the work of creation, He made Jesus first and then everything else came after that. So Jesus is not divine, He is just special. Some people said, you know, we think that the way to understand the Trinity is not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it makes more sense to us and it fits more in our thinking to talk about Father, Mother, and Son. Say, why don't we take the Virgin Mary and let's elevate her to the point of divinity so we have this holy family, and that kind of makes sense to us. Let's say that. Some people say that there is one God, but for a while, God was the Father, and He created the world. And then the Father changed Himself to become the Son. So Jesus was all of God for a while. And then after He had done the work of salvation and accomplished the payment for sin, then the Son transformed Himself into the Holy Spirit. And only the Holy Spirit is God, and all that's all that there is. There are people that have said that, and there are even people that say that today. Some people say, well, you know what, we just make this too complicated. We say that the Father is God. We say, well, yeah, we can get that. And Jesus Christ, the Son, He's God. Say, yes, we will agree with that. And the Holy Spirit that comes in us and that is powerfully moving among us, we say that is God. And we will say that they are three. And they are three separate beings, three separate gods, and we do not believe in one God. There's all different kinds of ways of saying it, and some are just outside the pale. There's confusion. And so we want to say, let's go back to the Bible. Let's study the Bible. Let's make conclusions not on our own, you know, philosophies, not on our own internal logic. Let's make decisions and conclusions about God based on what He Himself has said. And so the debate began over the centuries of the church. The church leaders and the thinkers and the scholars said, let's go back to the Word. It's complicated because one of the words that is not found in the Bible is the word Trinity. That God seems to assume Himself and that He speaks out of Himself, but He doesn't take a step back from Himself and dissect Himself or define Himself for us. He says, I'm just going to reveal Myself to you and then trust you, that the Spirit working in you will bring a discernment to you, that you will arrive at conclusions about who I am. Well, after years, decades, centuries of thought, prayer, and debate, the doctrine of the Trinity was formulated by the church and said finally to be, this is what the church says about God. This is how we understand Him to be. This is the conclusions that we as a church have made, that He is one God. That one God is revealed to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That these three persons are distinct, but they are unified. They are of one essence. They have one will. That they are together one God. And it's mysterious, and it's miraculous, and it scratches your head. But it is what the Bible says as we conclude about that. Now, it's also true that a person can't talk about the Trinity more than a few minutes without stumbling into one heresy or another. Because it is so mysterious, and that we are trying to talk about something as beautiful as our God, while we are limited creatures with only so many brain cells and so much capacity for understanding things that are divine, that we trip up. You don't hear sermons about the Trinity very often. And back in the day when we had catechism sermons, you know, there was some opportunity to talk about the Trinity through that. But now the pressure on us preachers is to talk about the seven keys to a happy marriage, or five steps on the road to contentment, or how to be strong like Samson. Those are the kind of sermons that people want. Yeah, that's what we like, you know, practical and down to earth and in the nitty gritty of life, not theology and philosophy and things that seem to be almost abstractions in their ministry. But I would say to you that theology is practical. Theology is not abstraction. Thinking about the deep and the mysterious and the wonderful things of God's revelation and God's truth has practical implications and impacts for we who are the children of God. Talking about things like Trinity make us stronger, healthier, and ultimately happier Christians. Now, to come to an appreciation for that mystery and majesty that is our God, I thought the one word, as I was contemplating this week, trying to get my head around Trinity again, the word community is the word that keeps popping up into my mind. I like to think of Trinity as a community. Now, I granted that is almost another object lesson about who God is, and it falls down at points like every other one. Some people said the Trinity is like water. Now, water can be frozen solid like ice. It can flow like water, and it can be vaporous like steam, and be it all of those things are H2O. Some said, "Oh, it's like a butterfly. You know, first it's a caterpillar and becomes a pupa, and then it emerges and it's a butterfly in the three stages." Some have said, "Think of a triangle, right? Where each side of the triangle is necessary for that to be a triangle. Take away one of the sides and you've got an angle. Take two sides away, you've got a line. It's only when all three are present that you have a triangle." St. Patrick tried to explain the Trinity to the Irish by picking a a clover off the ground and showing the three leaves that were coming off the one stem. Well, they all, as theologians, debate this. They say each of those has a flaw or an inadequacy about that picture. But the best one, I think, as long as you don't push the analogy too far, is to think of the Trinity as a circle of friends. Three friends who are absolutely devoted to each other. Three friends who know each other so well that they can finish each other's sentences. Who love each other so deeply that they would, without hesitation, give themselves up for the other, will sacrifice for the blessing of the other. Who want other people to know how nice their friends are and will gladly do whatever their friends ask of them. As we study the Scripture and we look at Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we see are three persons who are in love with each other, who are devoted to each other and promote each other. Jesus Christ was always pointing to His Father. And the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus. And the Father is forever putting His blessing over the work of the Spirit and the Son. None of them seem to be about self-aggrandizement, but of pointing to the wonder that is God. I've wondered before God started creating the world, we say, well, God is eternal. That means that for an eternity before He started the work of creation, that God was in the nothingness. There was nothing but Him. All there was God. For eternity. I say, well, didn't God get bored? What did God do with nothingness around except for Himself? And I think the answer is that He had the community of Himself. That from eternity He was this bound together, beautiful, harmonious community of Trinity. So when He was alone, He wasn't by Himself. He is the definition of community. Now since, and I would posit this, and I would say that I think this is right, that God is community, but that explains why His desire for the world is community. Why His desire for us as Christians, as the children of God, as the people of Christ, His desire for us is that we be in communities. He says, don't be like those that are stopping meeting together, that are abandoning community, because that's not good. That's not the way. He wants us to be drawn together. I have thought when the terrible things like schism or church breakups and all that kind of stuff, that is, I think, the saddest thing that I can see. That when the unified body of Christ is splintering itself out of pride or whatever, that is a terrible thing, and I think that breaks the heart of God. His desire was that the universe be in harmony with Him and that the people whom He made would also be in harmony with Him. Adam and Eve walked in the garden with God. They heard Him come and they walked with Him. They were in community with Him. And God gave Eve to Adam and gave Adam to Eve so that together they could be in a wonderful micro community. And when we live in a way that is connected to God and connected to each other, whether it's as families, whether it's as congregation, whether it's the Christian community, larger spoken, then we are experiencing the blessing that is in the very heart of God. And we are showing that we understand the sacrifice of the Son, that we are filled with and in tune with the Holy Spirit, that we get what is in the heart and mind of the Father. To understand God, to see Him, is to experience community. As we read these texts in John and in Corinthians, the key word, and I don't know if you notice that, I invite you to this afternoon read these texts again and notice the central place that love has in God and in community. Jesus tells us in that wonderful teaching in John chapter 15 that we are branches on His vine, and that we are deeply, intricately connected to God because, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Just as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves us. Jesus stayed in step with His Father and experienced the unbroken blessing of His love. And as we stay in step with the Lord, we too experience the unbroken blessing of His love. And as we stay in step with each other as the people of God, while staying in step with Jesus Christ, we experience unbroken blessing of the love of God and the love of community. What the doctrine of the Trinity shows us is that there is a chain, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are linked together in love. And because we understand Him and we love Him and we serve Him, that we are linked to God too. And as we are filled with that divine love and that vision, then we are linked together. We are all in this beautiful line of love and community. And when it's threatened by sin, when we forget how we are bound together, when we forget the basis of our community, then God pursues us. And He will correct us, and He will draw us back to once again experience community and love. So all that we have, the joy that we have in our families, the joy that we have as a congregation, the joy that we can have as Christian Reformed churches together, or even better, as churches of Christ all together, say that we are participating in the community that flows out of our triune God. So brothers and sisters, let's flourish together. Let's know God. Understand Him as fully as He has revealed Himself, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You that You do reveal Yourself. And we pray that we will love You as You love us. Amen. Our reading